Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The KDKA Morning News with Larry Richard and John Shumway.
This is KDKA. I'm Larry Richard. John Shumway back with me on Monday. Meanwhile, 24 hours ago, the story out of Las Vegas continued to unfold. And where we stand right now, as you may have just heard in the news, at least 59 dead, 527 injured. The worst mass shooting in American history, which leaves all of us with a lot of questions, all of us with a lot of emotion. And joining me is forensic psychologist Alice Applegate. Appreciate your time, Doc. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, Larry.
Explain for us what a forensic psychologist does.
A forensic psychologist is a doctor who works at the interface of the profession of psychology and the legal field. So I work in legal cases to do due diligence, to do a very thorough profile of the cases going through the criminal court system.
So they're trying to just what we're trying to all figure out from this mass shooting is what happened to this 64-year-old Caucasian male who was affluent, Stephen Paddock, how he ends up committing the most heinous crime in American history. He had 23 guns in that hotel room, thousands of rounds of ammo, two tripods to put the automatic weapons on, 19 additional guns at his home, 2 gallons of ammonium nitrate in his car, which could have been configured to be a massive explosive device. And yet his brother Eric in Florida said, "We didn't see any of this. No attachment to a religious group or radical organization." Mm-hmm. Where do you begin to start to figure out what would drive an individual to do what he did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is definitely a complicated case. This is a predatory homicide-suicide. And in my opinion, there's a fine line between suicide and homicide. And I think the more that we look at this case, the more we realize how complicated it is. He was an asocial loner, but the question is, was he also a dangerous group conformist? You know, as you're saying, I don't see any protective factors in his life, like a caring spouse, that might have kept him from going down this route. And there's some kind of a vague suggestion here of something destructive, a bigger force maybe in his background that was happening. Now, you're bringing up so many issues already about this case. He did suicide. There is some research coming out that suicidal tendencies tend to run in families. This was obviously a very antisocial act, a horrible act. And, you know, there's also some research that shows that antisocial tendencies tend to run genetically in families. There are obvious factors here associated with suicide. For example, he was a pathological gambler. That's associated with suiciding. His increasing age and the fact that he seemed to be socially isolated. He was single, divorced, and basically alone. Even though he went to gamble so much, I think he was still an isolated individual. There are many unknown factors that I'm sure are being researched with due diligence at this point. We don't know if there was any brain damage that contributed to this. In 2012, he had a serious fall in Las Vegas with substantial injuries. We don't know if there was some kind of medical condition or chronic pain condition that was unfolding for him. He had a pilot's license and he let that lapse in 2008 due to no medical certification. We don't know recently what kind of recent stress he was going through. Was there a relationship breakup that we don't know yet? Was there a loss of his home that was traumatic for him? In 2015, apparently he sold his Florida home. Was there any substance abuse? Was there any undocumented mental illness? Have there been recent suicide attempts or recent aggression? Were there recent financial losses?
Well, all of these factors, you're right, will be, I guess, the FBI's forensic psychologists are going to go through every fine detail. In the meantime, let's turn it around to the victims, the families directly involved, those injured, those who weren't injured, who were at the concert.
Yes.
And then the rest of us who witnessed this, you feel the range of emotions because you feel for the families who have lost loved ones. And at the same time, it becomes overwhelming throughout the course of the day. What do we do?
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, the problem is here, we don't know what his motivation was. We don't know what grudge he was carrying that was incubated in him. And now you have, first of all, many people who lost their lives here, many innocent people, and we don't know why. And then you have people who were terrorized at that concert. And then you have the rest of our society who is feeling traumatic anxiety about this. When you're looking at trauma clinically, you don't have to directly have a threat to your life to feel traumatized. You just need to have exposure to trauma or a threat to life.
And I think, Doc, a lot of people are feeling that.
I definitely think that
unsettled,
they are.
Fear of going out into public places,
yes.
Real anxiety. What do you tell people how to deal with it?
Yeah, a lot of anxiety here. And that's why we're all glued to these reports, you know, in the newspapers and on TV, because we want to try to take some control of this. We want to try to make sense. And having control and having anxiety are opposites. Anxiety is your internal smoke detector. It's your internal watchdog. It's there biologically to help you pay attention to risk factors and to keep you safer. And I think people are trying to make some decisions in their mind now. Do I change my behavior? Do I not change my behavior? They're trying to get some control. And so this is what all of this research is for, to figure out what happened here.
Would you have a few moments after the news at 7 to continue this conversation? Because I want to talk about giving people some real tangible thoughts on how to deal just, you know, on the surface with this, who are feeling a little traumatized.
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Sure. Alice Applegate, forensic psychologist, and we will have more coming up. You're listening to The Voice of Pittsburgh. This is KDKA. I'm Larry Richard. John Shumway back with me on Monday. In the meantime, we continue to try to put the pieces together what happened in Las Vegas, the worst mass shooting in American history now, and the individuals who were killed, 59 in all, 527 injured, and those who rushed to their aid, the first responders. Just an incredible story to try to get your mind around. So we've invited Dr. Alice Applegate, forensic psychologist, with us this morning. Appreciate your time, Alice, and thank you.
You're very welcome.
In particular, people, even though you're not directly involved with the situation, are somewhat traumatized, as we discussed in the last half hour.
Yes.
What can people do to try to maybe unwind a little bit or, you know, disengage from the enormity of what we've just seen?
Mm-hmm. The first and the most important step in being exposed to a trauma is to relax. In other words, get into reality, start to deep breathe a little bit. Love your family, love your pet. Do some meditation, do some yoga, listen to some music, enjoy the weather today. Find a way to relax your system. That's step number one. Step number two is, now this is a mass shooting here where there was considerable complicated planning going on. Now, you need to make some decisions, some plans around how you're going to deal with all the material coming out in the media about this case. One of the symptoms of trauma is avoidance. So you need to make some decisions about wanting to avoid and disengage from everything that you're going to be seeing for many days and probably even weeks now. And wanting to engage with the material that's coming out and learn and do some planning, make some decisions. Look around you. Most of us are going to be able to say, I'm safe. I'm safe. There's nothing going on in my life right now that's threatening. And you need to get your feet on the ground and anchor that feeling inside you. And then you need to make some choices here about how much you're going to avoid and how you're going to avoid and what you're going to think about and how you're going to plan for your future.
This is the greatest loss of life, as I understand now, since September 11th. And I do remember Mr. Rogers, and he talked to children who were obviously part of being traumatized by those events.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he said was, look for the helpers.
Yes.
And we've seen those people who put their own lives in danger to help others, and many others who showed up yesterday in Las Vegas to give blood, and people that want to do the right thing, too.
Yes. Yes. Consciously look around and see how many people are there just to help, these positive figures, you know, in all of our lives. And look in your own life for relationships that are meaningful to you, somebody that you can talk to about what you're feeling, somebody that you can listen to about what they're feeling. Because when you have positive relationships in your life, relationships calm down anxiety.
When do you know, Doc, that maybe you need to seek a more professional help? I mean, many people will be able to deal with this and in their own ways, but when does it cross over to maybe I should talk to a professional?
When avoidance becomes your way of life, when other people are noticing or telling you that, you know, you seem very tense, do you need to have somebody to talk to? When you're having other much more serious symptoms like nightmares or flashbacks or intrusive thoughts, when you're experiencing dissociation all the time, you're zoning out, you're watching TV, but you're not really watching, you're there, but you're not really there. All of these signals tell you that you need a little bit of help here. You know, find somebody to talk to.
In a great irony, at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival across the street from Mandalay Bay, the country duo Big and Rich were performing, and they had talked about having all 22,000 people put up the light on their phone, and they sang God Bless America.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Dr. Alice Applegate, forensic psychologist, can't thank you enough for your time and thoughts.
Thank you, Larry.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.